What a great question.
I know.
What a great question.
Out of that mouth
old.
Of babes, dude.
Yeah, 10
I just got
old.
Slapped around this morning.
That's it. That's
I wasn't expecting to get convicted here this morning. What's happening?
Well,
I'm going to talk. Who's the boss here?
Our listeners are good. They're going to give you a wake-up call, and Anna certainly
Let me say
did
something in Phil's defense here. I'm a student of World War II, and the area that Phil operates in Papua New Guinea, during World War II, MacArthur, Port Moresby, they had a tremendous battle, and they sent one of the best divisions we had from Indiana, Michigan. We're talking about all college football players into that jungle. And just like Phil just briefly mentioned, they all got yellow fever, malaria. They got dysentery. They had all kinds of diseases. The only thing that saved them was the natives carrying them to safety once they got wounded, was the people that carried their supplies into them. They were fighting the Japanese, a very, very courageous enemy. They almost captured Port Moresby. But the conditions there, if you read the book of the actual people that were there, basically it was a horrendous battle. Yeah. And Phil's ministering to those people. And basically, I can't but take my hat off to him, because you wouldn't even want to walk on the trails over there if you had logic, if you weren't a very godly man like obviously Phil is. But I really commend you, Phil. You're honest in saying what you said. But I just want the listeners to know where Phil is actually ministering to some of the same people that helped turn the tide in World War II there in the South Pacific. God bless you, Phil.
All right. Thanks, Alan. That, you know.
Wow. That was.
That's.
Wow.
It was. And
I'm getting slapped around this
well,
morning.
Well, that's a nice
I did not
segue.
Know, I did not know that I was going to be preached at by kids and the boss of the radio station.
The voice.
You tricked me.
The voice comes from many different ways.
But I tell you, brother, I understand what you're saying, and it's so true, and it is, but it's. But I believed it's part of the package. When I went to the jungle, I knew there would be malaria, dysentery, cerebral malaria. My wife's held me in her arms twice, and I was going. I was leaving this world, and we thought it was the end. But it was. But I knew it. So the reason I don't complain, I guess, like those soldiers, we knew what you know what you're going into. So I don't want to talk about, you know, you get some missionaries and they talk about the bad things. I want to tell people that we serve an awesome God, and that you guys here have an incredible godly country. I just wish you could see America through eyes of us aliens. I'm an alien. I just wish you could see what America is even today with your administration. I know you have a problem with. I wish you could see it through my eyes.
Yeah.
You have an incredible historical, godly
that's
country.
A very good point, too, because we are so much ingrained into what we
cheap,
have.
Cheap, cheap. I first time
you don't
I
see what
up,
you have.
First time I filled up my gas, my wife and I are laughing.
Oh, yeah.
We got to $60 and we're laughing. In my country, it's $240 to fill it up. We went to the shopping center, Whoa. Walmart. I'm going around buying stuff. I don't even eat that stuff, but I'm putting it in.
Yeah.
We go, it's like $90. We got all these bags in my country. Two little plastic bags, you're looking at $120, $140 of
wow.
food.
Wow.
You have cheap, you have freedom. You got people walking around with guns. I mean, it's like it's... It's incredible. It's awesome. Like, just what a country you
well,
have.
Well, there's always been something that
no
be said
No wonder people
want to
run
spirit.
Across the border and be here.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm but looking for the border.
Well, you know, and it's one thing about Americans you'll find is that we are very, you know, unique individuals.
Yes.
Our uniqueness is there, and it is still a desirable country to come. But right now we have Drew on the line. Drew has just a few minutes to speak, but would like to – he wants to say hello to you and wants a story from you. And I, you know, if you can, if it's a story that fit, maybe this would be a good time after we talk to Drew – The story about the rice
no
that
rice.
I mentioned about. Drew, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the program, Drew. And what do you have to say to Phil?
Hey, Brother Phil, how you doing today?
Hey, good, Drew.
How's that game last night?
That was awesome. And Drew's a fireman, by the way, people. So,
oh, you know.
Salute to you, Drew, one of our heroes.
Nah, you're the hero, brother. You're the hero. Hey, I don't know how much time you had to do it, but one of the stories that you've always told that has always been a blessing to me was the story of Caleb.
Yep. Okay. Thanks, Drew. Yep. I'll try and give it in a short amount of time.
You don't have a lot of time. I understand that, and that's always been a story. It's been a blessing to my heart.
Drew, listen to me. I really thank you for your life. I know you get up in the morning, go to work, come home. Your wife works. You go to church. You have 1 week holiday during the year, and I want to thank you for your. It's people like you, the average Christian American. It's people like you, Drew, that keeps me in the jungle, on the field. And my brother was talking about, I have been carried out of the jungle many times. I even fell in the pit once. They had to pull me out, strip my clothes, wipe me down. Just you learn about shame, humbleness. But these people in the jungle will give you their life. And Drew, when I'm there and I'm sucking dirt and I'm wondering what village and if I'm going to make it out, I just think of you guys, you and your missus and your kids, going to work every day and then going to church and giving your money to missions. That's what makes people like me just keep on going. So thanks, Drew.
Brother, it is my pleasure, and you are an inspiration to us. So you keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Drew.
Wow, that's what keeps me going. You see, if people like... You guys have gold in this country. You got people that love God, like Valley Forge Baptist Temple. I've been around all America, and I met this pastor called Pastor Scott Wendell at Valley Forge Baptist Temple. And I've been a Bob Jones. I've been a big church, big colleges and that. And I met this guy, and I've always asked God to help me, because like you said, my brother, I just want something real. And there's a lot of TV people, and I look at it, and I'm not judging, but it's not my thing.
Right.
And when I met Pastor Scott Wendell at Valley Forge Baptist Temple, the senior pastor there, his humbleness and his care for people just convicted me about my own life and he has a servant leadership heart that I have really seen over the 30 years I've been in ministry. I just love being around the bloke. I think like I'm annoying him half the time. I always beg him, can I have a cup of coffee just to be with him? And I want to encourage some of you, because there's a lot of leaders and speakers out there, to see the heart of the man, how this man is just an... And it's in people like this and like Drew has encouraged me. Of course, Pastor Joyner, my bodyguard next to me, alias James Bond. I like him too.
All right. Since we have a few minutes left in the program, you told the story, and I know you've got it on your DVD as well, but maybe not the full complete details and all that, but the story that you told about that
the
sack
rice
of
man.
Rice. Yes. I think that story is a fantastic story, and maybe give us a little bit of an abridged edition of it.
All right. Well, I'll give you a short version, and you can come on Valley Forge Baptist Temple and get the DVD. It all goes to missions, and actually it's the first one, and it's the Valley Forge. It's actually Pastor Wendell's idea to get this DVD done, and his team, they've got an incredible team there at Valley Forge with Matthew Wendell and the media team down there. And actually, you can actually buy the DVD online. It's called uttermost.com. That's uttermostfilms.com. You can log on to that on the web for you younger guys and you older guys, and some of us are more savvy than the younger guys, but you can log on uttermostfilms.com and you can actually buy, I think it's $5 something online, the movie The Rice Man. What this story is about, it basically it's about us going into the jungle ministering to village people, and as I was saying, as my brother was saying, to get in the villages, it is really hard. It's not about a walking trail, and we've had marine rangers come in the jungle and they came and hiked with us, and I'm not saying that because I'm not trying to say I'm a tough guy, but we had to carry them out. And these are rangers, these are guys who are hard-nosed, because after a couple of weeks, they had things growing between their legs, between their toes. We literally had to carry them out because it's the jungle. You got to be a bit crazy, and you got to be. Your life has to be in it. So we're hiking in this village, and I'm taking two young boys. I've got a team. We never go alone. And we've been hiking for hours and hours, crossing rivers. And when I say crossing rivers, you got your pack over your head and the river's over your chest. So you're getting cold, hot, cold, hot. You got things, worms crawling. There's kids listening, so I don't want to give details. But you got things crawling all over you. You're trying to get them off each river, trying to get leeches off you. And I had come to the end of myself. I was sick, and I was getting. It was the first time actually I got malaria. So you shake, you're puking up, you got dysentery, all the fluids are going out of you, and you don't know what's happening. You get a bit delirious, and so I got all my pack, and I got all my rice that I had taken, and my lot was my rice, and I just got my rice and I threw it out.
Yeah.
And the young guys that were with me, they picked up the rice and they said, you can't throw this rice, put it back in your bag. And I was like, no, I'm not going to make it. You don't understand. I'm tired. This pack is going into my skin. I just got to get rid of it. If I can get rid of the rice, I'm going to make it to the village, which was quite, a whole day's hike ahead of us. And the guy said, you need the rice. When we get in the village, if we can't feed the village, they're going to go back to their gardens. Mm-hmm. We won't be able to hold them and tell them about the Lord. You want to tell them about, and you need food. And I said, no, I've got to get rid of the rice. And they said, you've got to hang on to it. So I did. I put it back in my pack, and I'm hiking. And hiking, it's not like walking. I'm following the guy. It's like climbing a ladder. The guy's legs are in front of my eyeball. So I'm climbing this rock, and he's helping me out with ropes and hands. And I get to, I don't know, I had, like that young girl said, Anna, do you ever feel like quitting? I just felt like quitting that whole hike.
Sure, I can
see why. I want to go home. I come to the end of whatever I was. And I tell them, I've had enough. If there's a bushman behind that rock we're climbing up, if there's a jungle man, I'm giving him my rice. I don't care what you say. Here's a missionary with a great attitude. And these guys look at me and goes, there's no bushman behind that rock. There's no one. There's no one in this area. We come around the corner, and lo and behold, there's this bush guy. He's just got a tie, your Baptist tie,
yeah,
around the right place. I just give you a vivid image. That's all he's wearing. Mm-hmm. And he's looking over the whole field. Now, we've passed the clouds. That means we're looking down at the clouds. That's how high up we've climbed. And we've got the whole valley. And I walk up to him. All I can think, I've got to get rid of this stinking rice. it's just sticking in me. So I get my rice, and I go up to him. And I cheekily, I didn't say it like, spiritually, but I just, God wants me to give you this rice. It was like, I really want to get rid of it. But it's like, God bless you, but I really don't want God bless you.
Here, you take it.
It's
yeah.
Like, you're coining God we trust, but right, we don't really believe that, but we use it every day. So I give him my rice and I take off, and the guys, they're looking at me a bit cheeky, and I'm going off. I get to the village. I get sick. I have dysentery. I didn't preach. I ended up not preaching. I ended up not saying anything because I was so sick.
Sure.
Felt like a failure. I felt like, here's all these American people and Australians supporting me. What a pathetic little French man I am. I'm thinking all this great stuff that none of you think that, of course, right now. You listeners, you don't think that, but that's what I was thinking. I'm hiking back now, coming back. They're half carrying me, and I'm half zombie walking. That means I'm half dead, half alive. I'm puking, stuff's running everywhere. I just want to get out. I got malaria, and I am dying. And if I don't, malaria is the biggest killing disease in the world today.
Yeah.
So I've got to get out. I know I've got to get out, so I'm pushing myself. I get to the place where that jungle man was, and we get down the valley, and there's all these bush people there. And I just looked at the young man that was with me, and I said, you tell those bush people, I don't have medicine. I don't want to see them. I need to get home. And all that, when we get to this, a whole bunch of people there, they're all grabbing us and kissing us and, just giving us a hug and slapping themselves. And I'm wondering, what's going on? And Pastor Gubby, one of the young men, Gubby, who today is a pastor, comes up to me and he goes, missionary, this is the guy that you gave the rice to. And his big smile, the guy grabs me, lays one on my cheek, you know, before I could say anything, like, you know, big lips, you know, gooey, you know, really sloppy one, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, man. And I'm saying, well, you're welcome. I got to get out of here. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to see anyone. I just want to crawl in my hole and die. And he goes, no, you don't understand. This is Ravel. And Ravel's child, his baby girl, was dying. She had dysentery. He went to the witch doctor. They did all the singing and leaf spitting and casting spells. They couldn't get his child to stop having dysentery. It was dying. And he was crying. And he asked people, what can he do? And someone had said, if you get some white man rice, some rice, from the, if you can get to the main road or get to a village that sells rice, you boil the rice and the water, you let it cool down, you give it to your baby. I've heard it will save your baby. Because you see, you got to understand that out of five children born in the jungle, only one survives to the age of five.
Yeah.
That's how high the mortality. So he runs to a village looking for rice, and he runs to another village just frantically. He comes across, I mean, he's bleeding everywhere, it's fallen cliffs. He comes to a part of the valley overlooking the entire valley, and he yells out with his heart in his local language, if there is a God out there, if you care for me, save my child, give me some rice. If there's a God, give me some rice. And right there, a pathetic, want to quit attitude, had enough, half sick, comes around the corner and says, God wants me to give you this rice, and walks away.
You must have looked like an angel to this man.
Yeah, but I didn't feel an angel.
No, well, yeah.
So he runs back to his village, and they say, where'd you get the rice? And he says, the God of the rice gave me. He says, what did you mean? He goes, well, you know that guy with a cowboy hat walks around that village? Yes, that guy. He came out of nowhere. He walked up to me and he said, God wants me to get... And he walked away. And I go, no, it's not possible. He did. Yeah. I yelled out and they all said, we want this God who cares for our children. We want him in our village.
Yeah.
And let's go on the road and let's wait for him. One day, 2 days, whatever it takes, we're going to get him to come to our village. We don't want him, but we want his God.
Sure.
Because they know how pathetic I am. We want his God. And so I told him, I was crying, laughing, puking, running at the same time. And I said, look, let me go home. Let me get fixed up in hospital. And I spent a week in hospital between life and death when I got home. Let me get fixed up and come back. And you know what? I had the privilege to come back in that village with a team and lead that man to the Lord, Havel. Sure. Lead most of the village. My son's there today.
Mm-hmm.
We have a church. A school.
So your son is doing this as well.
He's took over from our ministry with his wife, who is a girl from Valley Forge Baptist Temple.
Ah.
Grew up here, started the church with them. Now you get the connection.
Yes.
We're a mafia. It's all connected, man. We're all connected.
I guess you got an offer you want to give us.
Hey, that's right.
Well, you know, Phil, it's that story.
That's
I
how
love
God
that
works.
Story. Yes, exactly. And we talked about this during the week when you told that story, is you're so used to God using us verbally to get his message and his word out there.
Yeah.
And this is a great story how his word and his message can get out there in the physical things that we do.
But it's God doing it. You see, here in America, I've seen the TVs, and every guy you see on TV, he's the most handsome guy. His teeth are perfect. They must have spent $20,000 on his teeth. And he says everything right. He's got those fancy little mics, you know, not like this big mic, but this fancy mic.
Oh, yeah, little headsets.
And people get to think that God works through handsome, nice-looking people. I'm telling you, I'm as ugly as you can get it. And I was coming out. I didn't have it all together. See, because God works behind us.
Yeah.
It's God that works in front of us. And I don't know, listener, I don't know who you are and where you are, but if you feel right now that you're failing and your life's a mess, or you're looking around you and you don't think you've got it together, you're looking at your neighbor and you're thinking, have I missed out in life? I want to tell you that's where I'm at. And I want to tell you that God has a plan for your life, that you're made in the image of God, and that he has created you for a purpose, and he just wants you to come to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ so you can tune in, you can zone in for what you've made for. You know that story I told you about the school
yes.
and the spray can?
Yes.
I haven't changed much, but I know what God's made
me. We're going to be checking the restroom here at the studio.
Listen, you know? I was at the ball game. 1 minute, I sat down in Diamond League. The security came and asked me if I could take my hat off because I bought one of those big
10-gallon hats. Huh?
You know those big what do you call the animal the
fanatic
hats? Yeah.
And the lady looked at me next to me. The couple that took us. She goes, "You do get in trouble."
There you go. Well, tell you what, are you able to stick around for another hour?
Look, I can stay as long as you want. You want
okay.
me to hang around?
Well, let's do this. We're gonna continue this into our second hour, and I also want to let folks know that you can call in here to
WFYL. Actually, they can call their friends. They've got cousins.
Yes.
They've probably got a friend that's struggling. Say, look, listen to this Aussie guy. You think you've got trouble? Listen to him.
Well, if you want to talk to Phil, you can give him a call here at the station at 610-539-8225. That's 610-539-TALK. And you're listening to a special edition of It's a New Day here on 1180 AM WFYL. I am one of the co-hosts of the It's a New Day program. You can hear on WFYL during the week where we have a number of interviews. We talk on various, political issues, local issues that go on, culture, things such as this. And we were fortunate enough this week to have Phil Panero in to talk to us about what he's going to be talking about tomorrow at the Valley Forge Baptist Church. And if you real quick, we only got about 2 minutes before we have to go to a news break, real quick about tomorrow, if you
could. Oh, I'm going to be doing a Father's Day special, and it'll be full on. You're gonna strap your seatbelt on. You're going to laugh.
Yes.
And you're going to be thrilled in your heart. It's just hardcore as it is. And you listeners out there, if you've got a business in that, try and help this radio station here, trying to do the good thing. There's very few people in these days who are trying to do the right thing. A conservative station that's trying to do the right thing is very rare these days. So if you've got a business, why don't you ring up here on the station and just, promote them. Maybe you've got some extra $1 million that just hanging around. You don't know what to do with it. Hey, get on this station, help them, because they're trying to do the right thing. And I think if I've learned anything about America, we want to get behind something that's decent, that's honest, and that's trying to do the right thing in these days where everybody's trying to do the wrong thing.
Thank you very much, Phil. And you can get our website at 1180WFYL.com with various information that. But we will be taking a break. We're going to go to news at the top of the hour. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Phil Panero. And you can call in to the station, talk to Phil, ask Phil a question. The number is area code 610-539-8255.
I'll be telling you how I became the rodeo champion of our country. That is
there
the funniest
go.
Story ever, man.
Worth hanging on to, folks. Definitely. It's a great person to talk to. So, like I said, we're going to take a news break. We will be back right after the news to this special edition of It's a New Day here on WFYL 1180 AM.
It's all you got to lean on, but thank God it's all you see. And all the people setting me.